Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I'd like to say something.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
God, there was one week when you wore sweatpants every day.
Oh, you know what? If they were Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine. But because they're Costco brand, it's like the worst thing I could do.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, all right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. We have a lot we're going to get to. We got our NFL True or False. Read some thoughts on Mario Cristobal. Le'Veon Bell not reporting to the Steelers, but we got to kick it off as we always do with Phil Steele.
Let's hear from college football's walking encyclopedia.
Yeah, remember 2 years ago, my number one surprise team in the magazine, a non-top 10 team that I thought could make the playoffs, was the Washington Huskies, and they made the playoffs.
And the publisher of the definitive college football Bible.
It seemed like once folks got film on Khalil Tate, he wasn't as effective. You look at the last three games for Arizona, they didn't put up the points they were producing in his first four or five starts.
It's time for the Phil Steele Report with Dirt and Sprague, your weekly must-listen for the college gridiron. Brought to you by George McCoy, attorney at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Been injured in an accident? He can help you get the compensation you deserve. Go to warrenallen.com.
All right, and here he is joining us on the Catlin Capital Hotline now, Phil Steele. Phil, thanks for joining us yet again this week. The college football playoff rankings coming out, are the playoffs set in your mind, or do you still foresee a potential upset brewing with the top four teams?
You know, there's always an upset, isn't there, down the stretch? I think the team that looks, the two teams that look most vulnerable right now would have to be Notre Dame, which has a tough game with Syracuse this week, and then Michigan. As good as Michigan has looked, they have to go and face Ohio State in Columbus. And Ohio State has absolutely dominated that series as of late. So neither one of those two games is a gimme. Clemson, I don't really see a challenge there. And same thing with Alabama. I think Alabama and Clemson, you can pretty much lock them in at 1-2. But the other two teams both have a tough test coming up.
Well, I got to start with the obligatory Washington State question as they get the win on the road 31-7 at Colorado. And last week, Cougar fan, not all of them were thrilled about where they showed up in the college football playoff rankings. So now that we're another week in and you had Oklahoma kind of struggle, LSU struggled a little bit and some close wins against inferior opponents. What do you make of Washington State, their win, and then kind of their standing right now in that top 10 after everybody won this weekend?
Yeah, very impressed with the win last week, both offensively and defensively. And keep in mind, Laviska Shenault was back for Colorado last week, and they still won that game by 31-7. Colorado had pretty much been undefeated with the healthy Laviska Shenault. So impressive win on the road. I think they're going to have another impressive victory this week. They're playing Arizona at home. And I think when you look at the two teams, as good as Arizona's played the last couple of weeks, they haven't played a team like Washington State. Washington State had a close one against Cal. So I think another impressive win will continue to get folks' attention. Now, as far as getting in there goes, I still think that the Big Ten champ, whether it's Michigan or Ohio State, would be in over a Washington State. Notre Dame, I think Washington State fans have got to start rooting for Notre Dame to lose. They've got two tough tests. Syracuse and USC both have the talent to derail them. So I think that's the best course for a Washington State to get there. And then maybe you have Oklahoma and West Virginia split their two games that they have. Oklahoma has to play at West Virginia, then most likely meet again in the Big 12 title game. But the door is open, and I think if they get a couple upsets along the way, Washington State can slide in there.
We're talking with the college football guru, Phil Steele. We do it every Tuesday to kick off our second hour deep dive into college football. How surprised are you with what Oregon's done this year?
Oregon?
Yeah.
As far as the overall record being bad or good?
Just kind of where they're at right now versus what you thought they would be going into the year.
You know, I thought coming in that they would, I had them an underdog against Stanford and against Washington, and I had the Washington State game. I thought they could win that on the road. I thought they had enough talent, but it's been a little disappointing for me for Oregon this year, especially when you look at the defense. You know, defensively over the last five games, they're giving about 470 yards per game. I did not expect that. I thought they'd be playing better ball on defense. I thought Justin Herbert would be having better stats this year. So I was looking probably at a 2, potentially 3 loss team this year. I'm surprised that they have 4 losses at this point.
Well, and then looking ahead to their game this weekend, it's a big one really for both teams. Oregon trying to, you know, finish strong and maybe get to 8 wins on the year. And then Arizona State's coming to town and they control their own destiny in the South. And, every, you know, Utah's down there rooting for Oregon this weekend. Just your thoughts on that Oregon-ASU matchup at Autzen on Saturday.
Well, right now I think Arizona State's playing better at this point. I know they weren't overly impressive last week against UCLA, but they were a big favorite in that game. They were up 10 points at one point and never really trailed. I think Arizona State's got the triplets with Eno Benjamin, Manny Wilkins, N'Keal Harry. That's tough to stop. And defensively, they're holding foes to 385 yards per game. So right now I think Arizona State's playing better. But this game is in Autzen Stadium, and Autzen's a tough place to win. I think this is one of those circle-the-wagon games for Oregon. As you touched on, they can still get to an 8-win regular season and a pretty nice bowl game. I think it'll be a tight game, come right down to the wire. At this point, I'm leaning with Oregon to come out with about a field goal win.
Phil Steele is our guest. He's on Twitter at PhilSteele042. My preseason Big 12 pick was West Virginia, so selfishly I am rooting for the Mountaineers to fulfill that prediction. But I'm just curious, if they get past Oklahoma State this weekend and they take on Oklahoma for the Big 12 crown, do you think West Virginia can beat Oklahoma, or do you just like Oklahoma more than West Virginia?
No, I think when you look at Oklahoma's defense the last 2 weeks, what they've been giving up, I mean, Texas Tech put up 46. Oklahoma State, which is not your stellar Oklahoma State of years past, had 47. And they missed the two-point conversion at the end where the guy was actually open. It was just a bad pass from the quarterback. Or they knock off Oklahoma on the road. Now, if Oklahoma State can do that to Oklahoma, then I think West Virginia clearly has that opportunity. West Virginia's defense under Tony Gibson this year are actually holding opponents at 38 yards below their season average. Offensively, Will Grier has sort of run hot and cold. He's had, like, good two halves, bad two halves. But at home, you got to think they'll have the advantage. So I'm rating that game a pure toss-up at home, and it's always tough to beat a team 2 times in the season. So the door is clearly open for West Virginia, and I do think they get past Oklahoma State to set up that big game this week.
Yeah, you mentioned the headliner this weekend. Not a great weekend of college football in terms of top 10 or top 25 matchups, but you do have Notre Dame going on the road in New York, playing at Yankee Stadium, taking on Syracuse, a chance for an upset. I think that's one that everybody's going to have their eyes on this weekend. Just your thoughts on Syracuse, the way they've been playing as of late, and then the potential for an upset there in New York this weekend.
Well, you know, I picked Notre Dame my number one surprise team in the magazine this year, so I have to admit, everybody asks me who my favorite team is, and it's whoever I pick higher than everybody else. I'm an Irish fan right now. Much like you're rooting for West Virginia, I'm rooting for the Irish, and I'm nervous. I'm very nervous about this game. You know, Syracuse is a team that, if you look how they played recently, they went into Clemson, into Death Valley, only lost by 4 this year. They went into LSU last year and played them tight. They went into Florida State, lost by 3. At Miami, they lost. They beat Clemson. So they play the big boys tough. They've got the offense. I mean, Eric Dungy's a guy that's got 14 touchdown passes, another 12 touchdowns running. Defensively, that's their biggest question mark. Now, their defense has given up opponents 26 yards above their season average. Notre Dame comes in. They will get Ian Book back at QB. They've got the defensive edge. They're holding foes to 75 yards below their season average. They've got a balanced offense. I think Notre Dame is a stronger team, should be able to come out with the win. But the way Syracuse has played the big boys and gets fired up for them has me a little concerned heading into this weekend.
Yeah, Phil Steele is our guest. PhilSteele.com, ESPN.com, and on Twitter at PhilSteele042. The college football guru always joins us on Tuesdays here in hour number 2. All right, so Louisville has a opening for a head coaching position. Some people have speculated they might be going after Brohm from Purdue. Colorado, they're refuting it right now, but there was a report out there from Brett McMurphy that Colorado may be available. I'm just curious your 2 cents. Which program do you think is more desirable from a coaching standpoint, Louisville or Colorado?
I would have to say Colorado would be more desirable for me, but not for Jeff Brohm. For Jeff Brohm being a grad from Louisville, that would be his advantage there. And if I'm Louisville right now, my main thing would be to get Brohm as my guy. If you don't get Brohm, then you wonder where they're going to go. But Colorado's had some down years recently. I'm hoping that the report's wrong. I would love to have that wrong because I think Coach McIntyre is a hell of a coach. But if it is that way, then I think Colorado would be the better opening.
Well, when we talk about coaching vacancies, I think there's one we're all waiting on, and it's the prize job in the Pac-12. Clay Helton suffered another loss. They lost at home to Justin Wilcox and Cal this weekend, and we'll see how these final 2 weeks shake out. But UCLA is playing a little bit better, and then Notre Dame's a tough test for them. Is he a dead man walking? And then who are the names that pop up in your mind for a USC vacancy, if that is the case?
Yeah, I haven't really gone and you know, set the research to see who's going to be available for the USC job if it does come open. I think there's still a chance he could hold on to it. He's going to need to win his final two games and maybe have some chaos happen in the Pac-12 South, which we've seen all year, as I believe they're still mathematically alive to get the Pac-12 South. But right now I'd have to say much better than 50% chance that they'll be looking for a new head coach at the end of the year.
Yeah, Phil Steele is our guest. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at Phil Steele 042. And you can also catch him on ESPN, ESPN.com, and PhilSteele.com. Yeah, the coaching news is always interesting. And there's one name in particular. I'm hoping we don't lose him because I quite enjoy him. We know his brother a little bit, and that's Justin Wilcox at Cal. And they've had quite a turnaround since they went in their little slump this year, including that that win at USC over the weekend, defensively playing well. Where is he in your mind? How do you view a Justin Wilcox? Is that a guy that maybe a big program out there or a bigger program than Cal should be looking as maybe the way of the future?
Yeah, I think he's got the potential definitely to get there. When you look at this year's team, they're a little offensively challenged, especially the last three games. They're averaging about 240 yards per game. But you got to love the way the defense is playing, keeping them in games and picking up the victory. So, you know, the fact that he's got a lot of different backgrounds with him. I think that he definitely has the opportunity and will be a coach that's he will be named in a lot of coaching searches.
You know, one thing that frustrates me every year when we get to this week, and people down south will just laugh at it and say, well, you know, deal with it. But I always get frustrated when we get this middle of November bye week for the SEC, as basically everybody in that conference is playing nobody. What are your thoughts on that and kind of the way the SEC handles scheduling leading into what is a really big weekend in college football of rivalry week?
Yeah, next week is going to be huge. But, yeah, it's tough watching some of these matchups. And it seems like we have quite a few where teams are super large favorites and they've got a huge game on deck. And, you know, even LSU playing Rice this week. You wouldn't normally think that would be one of these total mismatches, but LSU's a 44-point favorite in that game. You didn't know Rice was going to be that bad. But, yeah, I mean, Alabama playing the Citadel, Florida playing Idaho, a lot of those going on, and it just makes it tough for viewing. You sort of wish, I mean, and as it is, I know the SEC is a very tough conference, and you need some breaks, but maybe a little bit better of a non-conference opponent down the stretch would help.
Yeah, get you out of here on this one, Phil. We need the scorching hot pick of the week from Phil Steele.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the an upset pick this week, and we're going to go with Minnesota over Northwestern. Pat Fitzgerald has been at Northwestern for 13 years, and I think his goal has been, let me get that conference championship each of his years that he has been there. But now this year they've accomplished that. They have locked it in. They're in the Big 12 title game. Meanwhile, Minnesota is at home. They played very good last week in their game, and now they need one more win to get to a bowl. So this is an A-plus game for Minnesota and for Northwestern. As much as Pat Fitzgerald says they'll be ready, you got to think there's a little bit of celebrating going on after finally reaching the goal he's been trying to get to for 13 years. So I like Minnesota to upset Northwestern this week.
All right, there we go. Phil Steele, philsteele.com, on Twitter at philsteele042, joining us on the Catlin Capital Hotline, as he does every Tuesday to kick off hour number two. Thanks so much for the insight and the upset pick of the week, Phil, and we'll talk with you next week.
All right, sounds good. A lot of fun as always, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, there we go. Phil Steele, the college football guru himself, joining us on the Catlin Capital Hotline.
I'm going to be outraged about that all week. The SEC scheduling drives me nuts, man.
Did you hear the Rice defense?
I did. Come on, Phil. I love you, buddy. No, this is not a good game to schedule.
Who saw Rice being this bad? Well, is Rice ever good?
God, are you kidding me? Like,
never
Alabama doesn't have to play anybody this week. How big of a benefit is that for them?
Well, again, I said this yesterday. I wish the Pac-12 did this.
See, but if the Pac-12 did it, this would kill Washington State. If they were, imagine if Washington State was playing the Citadel this weekend. they already get bashed for their non-conference schedule, and they haven't played a non-conference game in 2.5 months.
Well, they're getting bashed because they're Washington State.
That's my point, though.
Who's the Washington State of the SEC?
Kentucky. Like, but nobody's bashing who Kentucky's playing this week.
Well, because Kentucky's not good.
Florida's doing it. Nobody's bashing them playing Idaho.
But if we're talking the playoff conversation.
Georgia. Nobody cares.
But the problem is the playoff conversation never involves Washington State. And now it does. Those other schools, Alabama, Georgia, they are usually in this conversation.
I think if you had the Pac-12 doing something like this, they would be mocked and ridiculed. And it would be held against them in the college football playoff rankings.
Interesting. Okay.
But it's the SEC, so you know what the hell? Let them do whatever they want.
We got NFL True or False coming up. Le'Veon Bell not reporting. We've got some basketball to get to. We got a little baseball to get to. And we'll dive back into college football, talk a little Oregon State off their game against Stanford. But we'll read a couple texts on the Ducks, and then Mike Leach had just an amazing answer to an all-out coaches brawl in the Pac-12. We'll play that for you next on The Fan. All right, I don't know if we got time for Leach, so we may have to do that a little bit later on. We got NFL True or False coming up.
Leach finally answered the question that we've all wanted to know the answer to.
We've kind of been asking this question to coaches throughout the last couple years.
Even Kyle Whittingham said we asked him about arm wrestling crystal ball last week.
He said he would win, but he didn't want to outwardly say it just like that.
Yeah, he implied that he would win because of his genes as an arm
wrestler.
That's
what it is. Yeah, my dad was a great one. I'm pretty good at it, too.
Is that still a thing? Like, do people still arm wrestle? Is that still a thing?
I haven't seen that in a while, no.
Like, is that still a feat of strength?
Yeah, I think it is.
I think they still have competitions
like,
for
let's
it,
arm
sure.
wrestle, bro. Like, does that guy's out there? Not like, I'm not talking like the pro. I know the pro
you mean
guy
in the
does
bar?
It. Like in a bar. Like,
no.
Is that like a, hey,
people
arm
don't
wrestle?
Do that.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. Why do you do that?
I don't know. It used to be a thing, though. You used to arm wrestle.
An arm wrestle? How about we play one-on-one in basketball? Does that prove I'm more man than you?
As a sign of strength.
I don't
know.
Can we do
calf raises?
Calf raises would be interesting.
I've been working on my calves a lot.
Put a keg on each side. Let's do calf raises right here in the bar. Let's read a couple thoughts on the Oregon Duck football stuff as we talk to Mario Cristobal. Should have asked him, by the way, about the Kyle Whittingham arm wrestling thing.
Yeah.
Although he may not have wanted to answer that either. So.
No. Maybe he wanted to fight him after the way the game ended for him. You know, you lose, you're probably upset about it.
Somebody said they're going to get blasted this week.
It is okay.
A lot, but... It is clear Arroyo doesn't really fit.
Okay.
Let's see. Until Levitt has consistent corners, his defense won't be what he wants. His good year at Colorado, he had experienced defensive backfield.
Well, and that's a name, too, by the way, that continues to get sniffed around with this Colorado news.
Isn't the buyout monstrous for
him? The buyout's pretty sizable. He has, obviously, the language in there about Kansas State for whatever reason. That's his dream job, and there's a no-buyout situation for Kansas State. But, yeah, it's a pretty high number, and I don't know what Colorado's financials are to be able to afford something like that.
Now, well, and they still had a hefty buyout. There's 2 years left on McIntyre's deal.
Right, so if they fire him, you're paying.
So it's like $7 or $8 million to get him out of that.
Another listener says, we have heard about the recruiting for years. Are they choosing the wrong personnel? Mitchell seems to be the only receiving threat. Where's Taj Griffin? Well, he's gone.
He transferred. By the way, Tabari Hines is transferring too. That news just came out today.
Really?
Like in the last half hour.
Totally forgot about that kid.
Yeah, he hasn't played in 2 months. He hasn't played since, gosh, probably the Stanford game maybe.
So Taj Griffin gone. Brooks James, I mean, I don't even know if he... Should he be playing? I mean, he's really struggled this year.
He had the one moment in the long run against UCLA. Outside of that, it's been a pretty down year for him.
Yeah. Let's see. Somebody else says, why did you guys not ask about tempo and every other one of their losses? They play faster. They are more successful. We asked about offense last week, and he basically said he loves what he's seeing from his offense. He defended it. He told us where they rank.
You look at the numbers and, you know, statistically where they stack up in the conference, and it's still near the top.
I'll do this for listeners because we've got a lot of people, like, on Arroyo stuff. And, again, I just took this back to we talked to him last week. I didn't expect him to change. They have a poor offensive showing. I'll bring it back up next week.
Well, the tempo thing I think is valid, and we have asked him about that in the past, and they want to use tempo. The problem is early in games, they don't get first downs.
Yeah.
You can't use tempo. If you go three and out, you can go as fast as you want. You're just punting the ball back to the other team quicker. You see them once they get first downs, they often still do use tempo. And you see it in the last handful of weeks that when they finally get the thing rolling, they'll run up and hike it or maybe get up, settle, look over at the line of scrimmage, see what the call is. But they'll no huddle on teams once they get into a rhythm. That's just been the difficult part, is finding that rhythm early in games, because I think they do want to use tempo early in football games, but they've been going three and out so often. It sets the defense behind, and it's kind of that snowball effect that we've seen for them. And, you know, on the recruiting the wrong guys, I think sometimes the recruiting numbers can be misleading, because if you look at the class rankings that they've had over the last 5 or 6 years, the class ranking is still pretty solid. A huge chunk of those guys either A, didn't pan out, or B, have left the program. Taj Griffin is a great example of that. He was a big-time recruit when he came in. He didn't do hardly anything for 3.5 years, and he transferred after 2 games this year because he couldn't remember the playbook and he wasn't a part of the rotation. Do you know what the drop-off is? I'm curious to get your guess on this.
Okay.
Because I was looking it up last night. Dylan Mitchell's the playmaker on the outside. We all know it. Do you know what the yardage gap is between him and their number two leading receiver?
First of all, is it Johnny Johnson?
No.
Is it Jacob Breland?
Yes.
Okay, the gap between them, I'll say 600 yards.
700 yards.
Oh, it's close.
700 yards. Dylan Mitchell just went over 1,000 yards. Yeah. Jacob Breland has about 300 yards receiving on the year. Johnny Johnson, who was supposed to be one of those guys, one of those four-star, you know, recruits.
Right.
You know how many catches he has this year?
I'll say 18.
12.
Wow.
He has 12 catches in 10 games.
Yeah.
Six of those, by the way, came in non-conference.
That's right. Yeah.
So he has 6 catches in Pac-12 play. That's when you talk about having talent and more players, and like, there is one guy right now who can go out and make something happen for you on offense outside of your quarterback. I'm talking about somebody who doesn't touch the ball on every play, a playmaker to make something happen for you. It is Dylan Mitchell, and I think that then feeds into the system of them looking at him too much, Herbert eyeballing him too much, because he's the only guy that can create separation and is the only guy that he trusts to catch it on a consistent basis.
Somebody else says, my biggest concern with Cristobal is if he has a stomach to replace the OC if the last few games show zero improvement. That's one I want to ask you real quick, and then we got NFL True or False.
Yeah.
Beaver fan saying, you know, it's kind of funny. You guys always point out how terrible Oregon State is on the road. I think you ought to stop doing that now. No, I joked about this week, and even with Dirt off the air, Oregon has one more win on the road than Oregon State the last 3 years. That's the reality of the road situation.
Is that really true? How many does Oregon State have?
2.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, I thought they had lost 22 straight road games.
Oh, what am I thinking about?
Yeah, because Colorado just snapped their 22-game road losing streak, and that's not 2 years.
Dating back 3 years.
Okay, because Oregon has
maybe
3.
Maybe it's 2 and 3. I think that's what it is, 2 and 3.
Not that
years.
Oregon's been terrible on the road.
Well, let me go look this up.
Okay.
I saw a graph on the Pac-12, right, and it showed record for road games.
I'll go back and look that up. Years.
And then one more. You do such a good job of making excuses for Oregon. 9 of the 12 teams in the conference would kill to have Oregon's roster. And somebody says he didn't take over an 0-12 team.
There's only 2 teams or 3 teams in the conference that have a better record than Oregon.
Where would you hedge your money? Does Arroyo lose his gig after 1 year?
How did the next 2 games go?
I'm asking you to make a
right now. No, without a doubt, no. But if you struggle to move the ball offensively against Arizona State and you lose, and if you struggle offensively against Oregon State and you lose, then absolutely, it's a completely different conversation.
Without a doubt, that's a lot of confidence.
Yeah, because I think you're going against 2 defenses that you should be able to move the ball on.
Yeah,
like if you can score 25 points on the road against Utah with only 4 yards in the first quarter and no points, you're going to be able to score the next 2 weeks, and I think that'll be enough for him to keep his job.
All right, we got a lot more to get to, but coming up next, NFL True or False. Le'Veon Bell not reporting to the Steelers. We'll go to the NFL next.
Hey, welcome back in. We still got to get to some racist stories, both college football and Major League Baseball.
One involving Mariners.
Yeah, not a good look, man. Not a good look. How about the Mexico Field situation, Mexico City situation? That is quite the issue facing the NFL. We need to get to that. The Warriors are imploding. Probably not, but hey, at least it's entertaining.
Well, so it got a little more personal with the report that just came out.
That it did.
That's a big no-no in the NBA. You're not supposed to do what Draymond did.
We'll get to that. Also, Markelle Fultz is double-pumping free throws. Did anybody watch that last night?
He claims the ball slipped.
Oh, dude.
He says the ball slipped and he grabbed it and then shot it again.
That's so painful to watch. He double pumped a free throw and I've never seen that before. So lots to get to. It's time for NFL True or False. Quick grade of Swigard last week.
Mm-hmm.
Rough one, Swag. Rough one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sometimes you win. Sometimes you lose. This is not a good week. We went 1-1-3.
Okay.
You said Pats in New England, Pats in New Orleans will both extend their winning streaks. Not
true. They did
not. They did not.
No.
Pats lost. Kansas City's margin of victory will be larger than the total points scored by Arizona. You said this was true. That was not true.
No, 26-14.
That's right. They gave up 14. They only won by 12. You said Julio Jones will not score a touchdown on Sunday.
He did
indeed score a touchdown.
Was that their only touchdown of the game?
I believe so.
They 16.
They get one late.
16. So.
Unless they had three field goals. I don't know. And then you said you got this one right. The new Chargers kicker, Badgley.
Yes.
We'll miss an extra point. That was false and did not happen. So you got that one right. He didn't miss anything. The Chargers solved their kicking woes.
Well, you know what?
Week.
I spent most of the week in Hawaii, so I'm not deterred.
Damn it.
You're a jerk.
All righty.
You're a real jerk.
You're a jerk.
The jerk store called and they're running out of you.
You're a jerk.
First up, Rams running back Todd Gurley became the fourth player in NFL history and first since 1975 to score a touchdown in each of his team's first 10 games of a season. True or false, Gurley will make it 11 games in a row this Monday night against the Chiefs somewhere.
Does the game get played? Dun, dun, dun.
Well, yeah, if they deem there's a – I was reading the team that's the designated home team has to have its stadium prepared. So if they deem it unplayable there,
right?
They'll move it to L.A.
L.A. is the home stadium.
Good. Move it to
move
L.A.
Move it to L.A. This game will be so much better in L.A.
True. He's going to score.
I'm going to go out on a limb on this one and say false. The Chiefs have a terrible defense.
So you're going to be sarcastic.
No. I just, sometimes you got to shake it up a little bit. Maybe other guys step up. Brandon Cooks has a couple. I know Cooper Kupp, we didn't get to that. That's a devastating injury for them and just for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I say he has a bunch of big, runs. He's got a bunch of yards, but they keep him out of the end zone. I'll say this is false.
This is true. Without Cooper Kupp, they like to use him in those tight situations. But they're going to try and run this, control the clock, keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands as much as possible. Todd Gurley's getting in the end zone.
Almost like you answered there as if we're keeping score.
I know. We're not keeping. I write when I have an outlandish one, I write it down so I can say next
That's
week.
That's pretty outlandish right now going in. Yeah. I got to give that to you.
Hey, I said true on the both Pats and Saints won't win this weekend. Now, I picked the wrong team to lose. But technically, I got it right.
Hey, you were kind of close, though. New Orleans only won 51-7.
All right, next up, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers became the first team in NFL history to gain over 450 yards of offense and score three or fewer points in their loss to Washington, committing four turnovers in the process. True or false? The Buccaneers will again have more turnovers than points this Sunday against the Giants.
Oh, this is 100% false. That was a...
Ow, how does that happen?
That was a unicorn of a performance by Tampa. To do what they did offensively and only end up with 3 points, we may never see that again. So, no, they'll have more points than turnovers against the Giants.
Fitzmagic is a wonderful thing. How many of those were picks? How many picks did he throw?
Two of each. Two picks, two fumbles.
And I'll again ask the question, how many weeks until he gets benched because he's just throwing a bunch of picks left and
right?
Well,
they were thinking about it last week, but...
Dude, they have 500 yards. They couldn't score a touchdown.
Does Dirk Koetter have his things packed? Like, he knows he's getting fired, right?
Yes. I would think so.
This is false. It better be false. If it's not false,
so
get rid of the organization.
I say true, and if
Please
they were
say true
playing
so you can be wrong. This is
somebody
not
else other than the Giants who gave up 23 to your boy Nick Mullins there last night. But no, this is false.
I hope they have four turnovers and two safeties, and it's a push at four.
That would be great.
The Saints set a franchise record for most points scored over a two-game span. After a 51-14 thrashing of the Bengals. True or false, New Orleans will score more than 40 points for a third straight week this Sunday against the Eagles.
I'm going to say false on this one. I think the Eagles defense, it's still okay, but that performance by Dallas has got to leave you scratching your head. I think the Saints are going to win. I don't think they're going to score 40 points.
Yeah, 40, I mean, what Dallas did to that Philly defense, it would have me concerned, especially on the ground. Ingram and Kamara is a 1-2 punch. They're both playing really good right now. Obviously, New Orleans is scoring points as the question holds of 40 points in a couple of straight games. This is a huge game, though, for Philly. Darby's out, but this is their season. I mean, they just lost at home on Sunday night, and they got booed for like the fourth time this year by their home crowd. it's hard for me to see them being that bad again defensively. I think they buckle up. They're not going to shut New Orleans down by any stretch of the imagination, but holding them to 31 or 35. I'll say that this is false. They get held slightly below 40.
I'm going to say this is true. I think the Saints just have it all dialed up right now. They're as healthy offensively as any team in the NFL. I can't think of a significant piece that is out on offense for them. And the Eagles are searching for answers. Darby out. They're constantly having to juggle and move guys in and out. So, no, I think they can put 40 up on Philly. Final one, the one-loss Rams set to face the one-loss Chiefs Monday night. The over-under set by Vegas, I believe, opened at 60. Is either 63.5 or 64 points. That's the highest total in 30 years of NFL action. True or false, the over will hit.
Oh, true.
64.
This is true. These defenses both suck.
Running an emphatic true from Sprague.
Yeah. Capital T-R-U-E. This is true.
I'm rooting so hard for the underdog.
The final
so
45 to 41.
So I can pull the capital part and play it next Tuesday. True in all caps.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, if you're a betting man, you have to take the over here.
Also, you want the over, don't you? Don't you want to see both these offenses just go crazy and go, I have no idea who's winning this football game.
Sometimes it feels like you have games like this and it goes the opposite direction, though.
I'm with you.
I'm getting the sense that's going to be this one.
Okay.
Now, what field is it played on?
L.A.
Do we got mini Ditka or full-size Ditka here?
We got full Ditka.
Because if that's the case and it's in L.A., I'm a little more confident in the over. But if they play this thing on a dirt field in Mexico City.
Well, I think considering bringing in fresh sod and trying to lay a whole new field down there, they really want to play it in
you
Azteca.
You see that picture?
It's terrible.
Yeah, they had a series of soccer matches and then some concerts.
It's like somebody took a pickaxe and just walked around and hit holes everywhere.
Joe Fish had a pretty funny tweet saying, this is what a tee box looks like when I'm done with it. Yeah, not bad.
I'm going to say false. Ooh. I think the defenses are going to be knowing that it's up to them. Whoever can get stops gives their team the best chance to win. And I think both defenses are going to take this one a little more personally than some of the lesser teams that they've played where they haven't had to be as concerned.
Yeah, Rams-Seahawks just hit this over. Was that 36-31?
67, yeah.
Right, so that just hit this number. Chiefs and Pats probably would have hit this number.
I think the Rams, the unders.
See, I think the Rams are really going to be into ball control. I think they want to limit the possessions for Pat Mahomes. I think they're going to be run dominant.
You think they're going to change who they are?
I don't think they're going to. It's not like they're going to have a whole. I mean, you still have Todd Gurley. The running plays and the scheme are going to be the same. I think they're just going to call more run plays than pass plays.
Oh, that's also.
Well, no Cooper Kupp. I mean, it feeds into it a little bit. Him being done for the year.
You
lost another
weapons.
You got Cooks. No doubt about
it. You'll look to take a shot to Cooks or Woods if you can get them one-on-one.
All right, write that down. Swag's adding one. He thinks they run more than they pass.
Okay, writing that down. An extra. We have a fifth option this
week.
A
bonus true or false.
There we go. Run more than pass. Okay, boom. Hey, let's stick with that game. What should the NFL do in this case? If you haven't seen the field in Mexico City, we'll tweet out a link at Turton Sprague on Twitter. Your thoughts on that situation and how this could potentially look for the National Football League. Crunch time is next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Was anybody at the Glorious House of Gaines today?
I was, my man.
Yeah, I ain't having that. You got me? I ain't having that.
Hey, he went. Come on, Mario. Calm down. Jeez, I'll be there tomorrow. Gosh.
That is 7-9.
It is some 7-9 BS, my man.
Got a half off days. Where's that champ for us, man? We need that one.
No days off.
Oh, shut up, Bill.
No, the funny part about that cut is he's having a day off.
He's taking an off week.
Which
what
is
are you
great.
Doing this week, Bill?
Right.
Huh?
Right. But he also just won the championship.
Yeah. Hey, we got a lot to get to in the final hour. Some racism stuff going on. Basketball is burning down a little bit. Oregon State. We have college football playoff notes. Also, Mike Gundy complaining about snowflakes. We've not got to that. I forgot about that one in our show prep meeting.
I need to read that before I talk about it.
Oh, I got the quote. I'll read it to you. And I also have some good content. Do we have audio of it? Oh, perfect. And I have a funny anecdote of history on that story.
On the story he told?
Yeah. So I got some juice on that bad boy.
I saw a headline. I have no idea what the story was.
Okay, we'll get into that a little bit in the final hour. This situation, by the way, it's funny when you speak something into an existence. We were just talking in the NFL, true or false, about what the NFL should do on Monday Night Football, because if you have not seen the field in Mexico City, what is it, Stadium Azteca?
Estadio Azteca. Estadio,
okay, yeah. Sure. There you go.
If you want to go Spanish.
Close enough. So that stadium, they showed there was some aerial footage of the field that was released, and it just looked awful.
Yeah, it was trashed.
It was ripped up. There's been soccer games and concerts.
And I guess it's been very rainy of late.
So it's a bad combo, right? And the NFL's been under a lot of pressure to try and answer the solution. By the way, the Rams have been practicing in Colorado Springs because they got to get that elevation practice in. So they've been practicing at elevation. Well, the NFL, in the last 5 minutes, just announced that they are moving that game to Los Angeles.
Good.
So they are avoiding this catastrophe that could be playing on a crappy field in Mexico City.
Good. I mean, you shouldn't be putting your players in a situation where on Friday you find out whether or not it is okay for them to play on. You don't want to lose any of the key players on both teams, because I think both teams are going to be pretty damn impressive and must-watch teams in the playoffs. I'm glad they came up to their senses and they wised up and they moved this game to L.A. Even if they got new turf in by Friday or Saturday, you still see a lot of guys that it's not good for them. Move the game to L.A. It's already ready. It's perfect conditions there. I'm glad they made this decision.
Well, and look, guys get hurt every week. I mean, you just saw it with Cooper Kupp tearing his ACL this past week. I mean, Darby did it for the Eagles. Like, you have injuries every week in the NFL. But if you were to have gone through with this game in Mexico City, could you imagine, whether it was the field's fault or not,
right,
what the conversation would be if Todd Gurley tears an ACL? Or if Mahomes tears an ACL.
I mean, Tyreek Hill, doesn't matter,
right?
Fill in the blank.
Any of the skill position guys.
I mean, I would almost rather go quarterback, because looking at Kansas City right now, would you say Kansas City, they'd have home field? Are they the best team in the AFC?
Yeah, they don't have the head-to-head win over New England, but they got a few fewer losses than New England.
That game was close, though, wasn't it?
It was back and forth. New England just had the ball last.
Last thing I want is for Patrick Mahomes to tear his ACL and be out. Like, I want Kansas City to be 100% full strength, and then get to go watch them play whoever it is they end up playing.
Yeah, if you took him out of Kansas City, I mean, that's...
Who's their backup? Is it Chase Daniel? Is it Nick Foles again?
Can they
Nick
go
Foles
get him
in two different places?
Is he a backup again?
Well, I think ESPN is thanking their lucky stars, too, because they lucked into an unbelievable Monday night matchup, the likes of which they have not had for a while.
Right.
To have it marred by field conditions, or to put them in a spot with the NFL where they're... Okay, are they going to trash the thing for the, you know, it's hard when you're a partner and you have a lot riding on it.
Yeah, they paid a lot of money for that deal.
To go in there and just rip the league's decisions right there on their programming, that generates phone calls pretty quickly.
Are those called vuvuzelas that they play at soccer matches?
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, that was the South Africa World Cup.
Yeah, but I remember watching a couple football games in Mexico City. They did the same thing.
Yeah, didn't like the Raiders and Pats play down there last year or something?
I'm not going to miss that.
And how about like a mandate from the NFL, if we are to bring a game to your stadium in your country, we make sure the stadium's ready to play?
Well, that's what they were trying to tease last night. They acted like it was ready to go, and then the aerial shot got released, and everybody's like, whoa, what are they working on right now?
Like, isn't that a pretty easy thing? Like, hey, let's not schedule concerts in 2 weeks before the Monday Night Football game. Can you schedule your concerts afterwards when it's okay to rip up the field?
You leave that to stadium manager. I mean, I was reading through the press release, and they said they started monitoring it several months ago. Everything was fine, and then just this recent spate of
fire the monitor.
Well, at least they came to their senses and they got rid of it.
Yeah. So this is it's a bullet dodged by the NFL as they have officially moved next Monday night's game to Los Angeles, no longer going to be played in Mexico City, and that game is. I mean, you're talking about the biggest Monday night game since.
I don't remember.
Right?
I think it's the biggest one of the year.
I've lost track since, I don't know if ESPN's had a bigger, better matchup this late in the season since they took it over?
Rams and Chiefs, you got 18-2 combined records.
Tessitore, I hope I'm saying this right because I got the Pac-12 road win thing wrong earlier.
Okay.
Believe Tessitore said last night, these are the two teams with the fewest amount of losses to play this late in the season for only the fourth time ever.
Sounds about right.
This late.
I'll trust that stat.
So I don't know who else, if any of those were on Monday night, but I would put this out there of right now, this is set up to be one of the biggest ever.
And it'll be in Los Angeles, Rams and Chiefs. We can't wait. That stadium issue has been resolved. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, as low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Lots to get to in the final hour, or the Golden State Warriors crumbling. We can all dream, right? We got a sports racism issue to get to. Mike Gundy doesn't like snowflakes and millennials. We'll share you his rant and give you some funny back history on that one. But let's start in the Pac-12. Oregon State falls to Stanford over the weekend. We didn't get to that game much yesterday. What do we make of their performance down on the farm? Also, Mike Leach, who does he think wins an all-out brawl of Pac-12 coaches? Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Spring on 1080 The Fam.